You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The counties in Southeast Michigan cannot agree on a regional transportation plan. Regional unity is an uphill struggle. So a new report done for Michigan Future seems particularly timely. The title, Regional Collaboration Matters, How Metro Minneapolis Has Forged One of the Wealthiest and Most Livable Metropolitan Areas in the United States. Journalist Rick Haglund wrote the report, and he's with us now. In broad terms, Rick, why is the Twin Cities area in Minnesota so successful?
Well, they do a lot of things right. They have, as you mentioned, they have some really good regional cooperation. They have a diverse economy. They have focused on education. They have also focused on transit, which a lot of millennials really need and want in terms of where they want to live. And they've also done a really good job of amenities, parks, livability, placemaking type features, and are a very welcoming metropolitan area to many different kinds of people.
And one of the interesting engines that has helped this region is the Metropolitan Council. Tell us about the Met Council, how it's structured, and how is it unique?
Well, yes, as you said, it is a unique organization. It is somewhat similar to our Southeast Michigan Council of Governments. What happened is back in the 1960s, the federal government required metropolitan areas to set up these regional planning agencies in order to qualify for federal highway funds. Minneapolis took it a step further. They had some interesting problems there. They had a privately financed bus line that was going out of business. They had lots of wastewater treatment problems. So they decided to set up their planning agency to have actual powers to run some of these things, to run the transit system, to run the wastewater treatment plants. They don't do drinking water, but they do the wastewater treatment. They administer the federal housing vouchers, as well as doing the traditional planning operations. And one of the reasons that it got set up that way is, as I say in the report, there's a former governor at the time who looked at it and said, well, you know, the region has lots of problems that cross boundaries that individual units can't solve themselves, and it would be better to set up a regional system to address these things. So it was unusual in that they gave it actual powers to run regional services and functions, which almost no one else did.
Not just advisory, not just turning out reports.
No, it actually has powers to, like I said, run the transit system, run the wastewater treatment. They have even some veto powers over development that they think may not be in the best interest of the region in terms of maybe gobbling up land that should be preserved for parks or what have you.
So decisions are made on more than just a county-wide or a very hyper-local level.
That's correct. There's been a lot of controversy about it. It was set up, all of the members, there's a 17-member board, they're all appointed by the governor. And there's been a lot of complaints over the years that this makes it unaccountable to local officials. But it was set up that way basically to try to avoid, you know, parochial battles between local officials.
You mean something like we're seeing in Southeast Michigan, for example, over our transportation?
Yes, something like that. Yes.
Yeah. How does the state legislature oversee the ordinances or laws that the Met Council puts forth?
Well, they basically establish the powers to allow them to run the transit system and do those other things. So the Met Council just basically carries out the functions that the powers that the state legislature gave them.
How many counties are we talking about in Metro Minneapolis?
It's a 6-county region.
All right, so it's pretty comparable to what we have for the Southeast Michigan area. So let's talk about that regional transportation challenge that we're wrestling with here. I know in Minneapolis, the fight to get a light rail was, what, 40 years in the making?
Yeah, it started back in the 70s when the legislature allowed the local units of government to assess a transit tax. And, you know, the region decided that they wanted light rail in the mix of transit options, so they began working towards that direction. There had been fights back and forth in the legislature. You know, one year's money would be appropriated, the next year it wouldn't be appropriated. It sort of depended on, you know, the political control of the legislature. So it was, you know, there was a lot of funding debates in the legislature. There were lawsuits, lots of things. But they basically persevered until they got several rail lines built.
You write about schools, and we have often talked. I know Bridge has done deep dives into how well Minnesota schools do. We've talked about that a lot on Stateside. Minnesota schools are some of the best in the country, but spending on education in Minnesota is not too high, huh?
No, they're actually sort of in the, you know, a little bit above average. The one area where they're a little higher is that schools get about 65% of their funding from the state, which is one of the highest in the country. So their funding isn't, you know, it doesn't particularly stand out. What seems to be the case is it's just sort of, you know, success sort of begets success. The state really focused on improving education back in the 1950s and reforming the tax structure so that more of the funding came from the state and was, you know, was more even across school districts. And over time, one of the things that happened was more and more of the citizenry became better educated. And, you know, as a result, their children became better educated. So it was just kind of a positive snowball effect.
When I look at what you put out here, the fact that Metro Minneapolis is 12th in per capita income among the 53 regions with a population of a million or more, best in the Great Lakes, Metro Detroit is 30th, and Metro Grand Rapids is 38th. So based on what you've seen in this deep dive you've done into Metro Minneapolis, what are the main lessons that we in Michigan can learn from what they're doing in Metro Minneapolis?
Well, I think regional government is part of it. It's a very hard thing to accomplish, and there's lots of debates in Minnesota right now about whether they should continue with the Met Council the way it is. But it's paid dividends for them. It's provided good transit. It's provided affordable wastewater treatment services. It's generally seen as more efficient than if the local units did all this stuff by themselves. Education has been a very big factor. I talked to one economist who said basically it's the biggest thing that's led to a prosperous Minneapolis region. They're welcoming, and one of the things I guess we haven't talked about yet is their business leadership has been very crucial.
Let's talk about that. So what are they doing right as far as their business leadership?
Well, there's an organization that was formed called the Itasca Project, which has gotten some publicity in recent years. There was a nice story about them in the New York Times a while back. They're a unique organization in that they are CEOs that are working on entrenched problems that go beyond traditional business concerns in terms of things like taxes and business regulation, that sort of thing. One of the things that I heard again and again, both from business leaders and others as I did this report, the big challenge that they are working on and they feel is very important is closing racial and economic disparities in the region. They do it partially from a moral standpoint. It's the right thing to do. But also it's because the region is becoming more and more diverse. And they realize that, you know, the white working age population is expected to decline over the next 20 years or so. The real growth in available workers is going to be in the minority population. And there's just a strong sense that they have to bring people up in terms of educational attainment and that the region has to work for everybody to be successful.
There's plenty of food for thought, and you can go to MichiganFuture.org to download Rick Haglund's new Metro Minneapolis case study titled Regional Collaboration Matters. Rick Haglund, it's always great talking with you. Thanks so much.
You too, Cindy. Thanks.